We're so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning as we do some popcorn theology. What that means is we're going to look at some movies this week, next week, and then in the third week of this series, we want you next Sunday to vote on your favorite Super Bowl commercial, and it can sort of be like stump the pastor. So whatever commercial, I know that perked you up, whatever commercial you pick, I will find a spiritual theme from the commercial, and that will be the basis of our message today. We are going to look at Dunkirk. My name's Andrea Smith. I'm the pastor here at West. If you're worshiping with us for the first time today, or if you are newer to West, we extend a very special and warm welcome to you. We would love to know that you're here. We will not bombard you with propaganda, but we would like to give you a free gift at our first-time guest tent that you'll find in the opening walkway. And if you're worshiping with us online this morning, we extend a very special and warm welcome to you. Now, before we get into the theological points, the spiritual points of the message, I want to ask you something because I like to know sort of who is out there and where you come from. So I'm going to ask you two questions. They're about World War II. I want you to clap if you know when and how a detailed way it ended, or I want you to clap if you have no clue how the process of it ended. So first, will you clap if you know exactly how World War II ended? And now will you clap if you don't know how World War II ended? Oh. So here's the deal. I do not try to be something that I am not. And so last Sunday in the middle of the message, I mean, there was like this, I hope, you know, powerful spiritual point being made. And then I was using a NASCAR illustration. And it was a great quote about finishing. And I realized I had no idea exactly what they do when they take a pit stop and do stuff to the tires. And that's what I said. I said, they take a pit stop and do some stuff to the tires. And people laughed. And so that wasn't supposed to be funny. And so I thought, well, all right, I'm not going to try to fake it today. I'm not going to pretend to be some historian of World War II. I did go see the movie about Churchill yesterday, and I think I've watched Dunkirk like 5 times now and read lots about it. But I inevitably, because I do not preach from a manuscript, what's going to happen in about 4 minutes is I'm going to be deep in the talk about Dunkirk, and I'm going to not remember what it is I've studied. So I just want to go on and give you that precursor that I am not a historian. And so I even had to do a little research on exactly how World War II ended. I know that it did, you know, clearly. And I know that the negative, the forces of evil that were prominent during that war did not succeed. But past that, I really did not know the semantics, so I'll just let you know I have a little anxiety about this message. But with that being said, now get ready for, I hope, a powerful message. Knowing that on the shores of Dunkirk, which was a place in France, over 300,000 British, Belgium, and French troops were gathered there. And the British expeditionary leader, commander, said he wanted to evacuate Dunkirk, and they were supposed to evacuate going across the English Channel. Well, what happened at the same time? The German commanders, they called a halt order, but only one of the armies halted, Army A. Army B and the Lafayette, is that a word? Okay, something like that. It was the German Air Force. They decided that they were going to stop the evacuation of Dunkirk at all cost. So what they did was they launched an airstrike, and then they started bombing the shores of Dunkirk where the hundreds of thousands of soldiers had gathered to be evacuated by the British ships. And so it was like they were a fish in a barrel. I mean, there was nowhere that they could go for protection. There was a barrier where the German forces had advanced to, and it was not too far away. And so there was literally nothing that they could do. It was like they were standing there, sitting there, sleeping there, waiting to die. The movie Dunkirk is a powerful depiction. There are many of the veterans. There were several that were still alive when the movie premiered, and they went and they were interviewed, and they had powerful stories about how this movie depicted the war and depicted depicted the Battle of Dunkirk. And if you Google that, you can find lots of different videos on YouTube. And I really encourage you to do that, to watch some of the testimonies of the men who served in this battle and how this really is a depiction of what it was like. Now, I also would like to know, is anybody here, if you'll clap, and you have served in the armed forces before, will you clap? We have several, and we also have several right now that are serving in the armed forces that are a part of West, some that guard our nuclear missiles, some that are serving in Afghanistan. So we extend our support and our prayers for those who are part of the West community that serve in our armed forces and also their families, because it is such a huge sacrifice for both ends, those who serve and those who love them and support them. And I want to go on and give a disclaimer, because today, another one, I've already given you several. Today, we are going to look at the spiritual ways that warfare relates to our lives and what we can take away from that. But because we are going to apply some of the principles metaphorically to our lives, I do not want to belittle or demean in any way the people who have actually served and fought in a war and in live battles. I have not. I've heard the stories of my father, who served actively in Korea and Vietnam. He went in the army at the very end of World War II and then was a sergeant in Korea and Vietnam. But past that and past hearing some of the stories of you who've come and shared with me and asked me to pray with you at trying to reconcile how we can be a people of war and a people of peace and following Jesus, you know, I just don't know, because I've never served in the armed forces or any branch of our armed forces. So it is out of respect that we do this message, because there are some powerful principles that we will see depicted in some of the scenes of this movie. And I do believe it's also this story. You see, if we were to record our lives right now on paper, if we were to document everything, if we were to talk about all the school shootings that tragically continue to happen and all the bombings that happen, and if we were to go back and document 9/11, and then in several thousand years, if those accounts were to be dug up and put together in one book, we would have a story very similar to what we call the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. If you go and you read the Hebrew Scriptures from beginning to end, you will see that it's a story of a group of people called the Israelites. And they were chosen by God. They felt God's presence in their life. They moved from worshiping many gods to worshiping one God, and they were led into this promised land by their leaders, and then they did what any human being does. They grow when they get close to God, and then they tank again, and they move away from God. And so we have this Old Testament, our Hebrew Scriptures, and we have this beautiful picture of these people who are fighting many, many different literal wars. You see the Israelite people as they are attacked by the Babylonians and the Assyrians. And we see their empires, the opposing empires, come into power, and the Israelites, they go through these periods where they just feel desolate and alone, and they feel like God has deserted them. So God would give them a prophet, and the prophet would prophesy and tell them that God is still with them and God is going to sustain them no matter where their attacks are coming from. And their attacks, we read them and we apply them metaphorically and spiritually to our lives, but the attacks that we read about in our scriptures in the Holy Bible, they're real. And so I think it's very relevant that we take some of our modern day warfare and we look at it and we look at what we can learn from it. I mean, this was in 1940, and you know, over 70,000 lives were lost in this Battle of Dunkirk. But the really powerful thing is over 300,000 were saved. And how? How were they saved? And then how can we apply those principles to our lives today? So we're going to watch the opening trailer. It's one of the trailers of the movie. And then we're going to watch several clips. There's less talking of me today, which from me, and you'll probably be glad for that. But I think it's really important that we see some of the scenes from the movie so we can learn something from it. Take a first look at this opening trailer.
What has happened is a colossal military disaster. We shall go on to the end. We shall never surrender.
The call went out. We have to go to Dunkirk. Ready on the stern line.
What are you doing? You know where we're going.
Into war, George.
I'll be useful, sir.
One of ours.
He's on me.
I'm on him.
The ship's about to leave.
Time to go.
They need to send more ships. Every hour, the enemy pushes closer. They've activated the civilian boats.
Civilians? We need destroyers.
Where are we going?
Dunkirk!
I'm not going back.
If we go, they will die.
You're weekend sailors, not the bloody Navy.
Should be at home.
There's no hiding from this, son. We have a job to do.
Turn it around!
We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall never surrender.
We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Where's the bloody Air Force?
So one of the themes in Dunkirk is that hope is a weapon and survival is the victory. You know, that's a powerful idea, that hope is the weapon. And sometimes just surviving is the victory. At the same time that the soldiers were on the shores of Dunkirk, you know, the British leaders were trying to decide how to save their lives. It's interesting to note that those that are there on the mole and on the shores feel like nobody's got their back. In just a second, you're going to see another clip, and it's one of the commanders talking with another commander, and they're debating where the help comes from. So this morning, I want us to think not just literally about war, but also metaphorically. There are people every day in our midst, and perhaps it's also you and me, that we face battles in our lives. Battles that come from this war, that sometimes life feels like war. And sometimes we wage battles in our minds and in our souls and in our hearts. The beautiful thing about this movie is that it is about survival. And for those who did not experience physical survival there on the shores, they did, as we believe as Easter people that follow Jesus, they did survive just in a different way. But you and I, we have this opportunity to live life every single day. And some days are amazing. And we wake up and we're like, oh, joy, I can't wait to face the day. There's going to be so many great things that are happening today. And then there are other times that we wake up and the day ahead just feels like an abyss. We wonder what's going to happen when we interact with people that we are closest to, or we're going to go to work and we wonder what's going to happen there. We wonder how we're going to pay our bills and face a personal financial crisis or perhaps some of the health struggles that we face every day. You know, there are different kinds of wars. There are wars of addiction, wars of depression, wars of hopelessness, and wars of just feeling like life has no meaning and needs to end. But there's good news in all of that. Hope is a strong weapon that's depicted over and over and over again in this movie. There are so many different scenes, and they follow different people in the movie, and I really do recommend it. It's a little gruesome, but life is. And so that's one of the reasons that we're looking at it, because you see, people do face battles every day that they feel like they just can't win. Maybe one of those people is you. But there is a hope that is a weapon. It's a hope that is so much bigger than anything that we can provide, even for each other. It's a hope that's grounded in God, a hope that's grounded in this presence and this energy and this divinity that is so much bigger than we are, as revealed through the person of Christ. So we see this story through the Hebrew scriptures of people that needed some hope. And all these prophets that came and gave them the hope, and then a Savior, a Messiah, who came and showed them exactly what that hope could look like, even in the face of death. We see that hope wins. It did in the movie, and it does in real life. The first clip that I'm going to show you, actually, of the movie is about the two commanders. And it's really important. I want you to pay attention to what they say about home. That's the trigger word I want you to look at. Take a look.
Officer coming through. Move yourself. Move yourself!
Where are the destroyers?
There'll be one soon.
One.
After yesterday's losses, it's one ship on the mole at a time.
The battle is here. What the hell are they saving them for?
The next battle. The one for Britain. Same with the planes.
But it's right there. You can practically see.
Seeing home doesn't help us get there, Colonel.
They need to send more ships. Every hour the enemy pushes closer.
They've activated the small vessels pool.
Small vessels?
It's the list of civilian boats for requisition.
Civilian? We need destroyers.
Small boats can lure from the beach.
Not in these conditions.
But I'd rather face waves than dive bombers.
Hey, all right. Then I'll get up in this. The Royal Engineers are building piers from lorries. At least that should help us when the tide comes back.
Well, we'll know in 6 hours' time.
I thought the tides were every 3.
Then it's good that your army and our navy, isn't it?
Home, just because you can see it doesn't mean that you can get there. How many times have you felt like that? That peace and that hope is just one more step away, but you just can't quite seem to get there. I think that's how the Israelite people felt when, you know, they would hear these words from the prophets, and they would tell them, you know, God is your refuge and your strength, your every present source of strength in times of trouble. If you'll just lean on God. Well, what does that mean? What did that look like for them? I mean, at least in our world today, in our understanding of Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, we believe that God resides in us, and that if we will connect with that power and that peace and presence of God, then there is something that will sustain us, that will be our weapon of hope in the middle of our battles. We know that. But for the Israelite people, think about it. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know that in the end, death does not win, that there is a power in the resurrection. Now, we find that if we study the ancient people, that they did believe in life after death, but we don't really understand, you know, how they thought that they achieved that and all that kind of stuff. But they believed in this God that was contained in this Ark of the Tabernacle. And it was contained in this holy place. And it was only accessible by the high priest. That they couldn't just walk in and be in the presence of God, much less just exist where they were at every moment of every day in the presence of God. That's the promise that we have. And if we don't feel that and we don't find it, then it is still theirs for the looking. It's up to us to try to figure out how we can see home and see hope and then hold on to it. So what does home and what does hope look like for you today? Or maybe if your life is just great right now and you're not facing any battles or struggles within, think of someone that you know and that you love. I guarantee you, each of us in this room know of someone that is in a battle in their own lives. How can we offer them that promise of hope? The scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, they're quoted so often and sometimes so erroneously, and they're often used to show this God of vengeance and God of anger and wrath. But If you look at the stories of the prophets, all of them, the major prophets and the minor prophets, and you study those and you read what they wrote and not just, you know, proof text and peel out one or two verses, the overarching story is this beautiful story of hope and promise and deliverance, and maybe not in the way that they want it right then in that moment, but they promise them that God is always there. So usually in a message, I pick like one scripture and then we dig deeper into it and look at what it means and how it relates to our lives. But that just did not seem appropriate for today. I couldn't land on one scripture. And then as I was prepping for the message, one of the gentlemen at West that has served in the armed forces reached out to me and said, you know, thank you for actually using this movie. It's so relevant. I've been there and I've done that. Many places in our world right now are there, and we will be there again. So thanks for talking about it. You know, I guess we do live in a time of unrest, right? Do you know that over 70 countries in our world right now are engaged in some kind of war? So we're not just dealing with war inside of ourselves. We live in a time where peace seems to be a novelty. But there are promises that I believe if we will apply to our lives and let them help us live through our own battles and we embrace that hope that comes with Scripture, then maybe there will be a trickle-down effect. If we live as people of peace and as people of hope, then think about the way that that can impact our world. I want you to take a look at three scriptures from three of the prophets this morning. First, from Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So think about it. If you're the people and you've got this promise that God is going to be with you wherever you go, I mean, that's a pretty amazing promise. So it means whatever battle you face, you're not going to face it alone. And then the second one from Nahum, God is good. A hiding place in tough times. God recognizes and welcomes anyone looking for help, no matter how desperate the trouble. But cozy islands of escape, God wipes right off the map. No one gets away from God. Why waste time conniving against God? He's putting an end to all such scheming. For troublemakers, no second chances. Like a pile of dry brush soaked in oil, they'll go up in flames. And then our third. Do not fear, Isaiah says, for I have redeemed you. And he's speaking on behalf of God. I have called you by name and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you walk through the rivers, they're not going to overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, it's not going to consume you, literally and spiritually. Sometimes when we are in the middle of those battles and in the middle of the rivers and the fire, we feel like there is not going to be an other side. But I promise if we'll stop and we'll look back at our lives and over the years, we will see that God has always been there. And the worst things are never the last things. God carries us through all of the darkest of times. I think sometimes we think that maybe it's our own power and control that gets us through those times, you know, but not so much. There is something bigger than we are that exists in this universe, and we believe that that's God, and I hope you will too. And that God lives in us and holds us together so that there is hope and so that we can experience home. Whatever it looks like for each of us in our own lives today. I want you to take a look at the second clip. This is after some of the soldiers have tried to find survival. The ships come and they get on the ships and then they just keep getting bombed by the air forces. And so this is after several different tragic attempts for people to be rescued. And then this happens. I want you to take a look.
you see? Home.
Comes in ways that we don't expect. You know, in the beginning, when they were talking about the personal vessels being used to rescue the soldiers, one of the commanders scoffed at that. You know, we need the big ships. And the other commander, you know, pointed out that they're just bigger targets. And that the British commander, and in consultation with Churchill, decided that they were going to deploy the personal vessels. So over 800 vessels sailed across the channel to go pick up the soldiers. Now, can you imagine the fear that those individuals had to have when they boarded their own vessel? And if you watch the movie, you'll see one of the storylines is about this father and his son's best friend. And they get in their personal vessel to sail across, and they end up picking up the soldier. And he is shell-shocked. He's afraid. And when he finds out that this boat is on its way to Dunkirk, he totally freaks out. He pushes the son's best friend and ends up fatally wounding him. And so the son is angry at the soldier. And it's so beautiful, the picture of grace and forgiveness that the movie shows. Because later on, when the soldier asks how the boy is, the son just sort of says he's okay, because he didn't want the soldier to have to carry any more pain than he was already carrying. The stories of sacrifice that are so prevalent in this movie are so powerful. And you know, that's our story. That's also a part of the Christian story. On the boats and on the ships, you know, there's the subliminal image of a cross. It shows us what we believe as followers of Christ, the image of sacrifice. That's the beauty of his message, is that, look, you know, sacrifice comes when we let go of all of ourselves and all of our ego and our own human stuff, and we go inward and be at one with God, that whole atonement thing. Then that is where we find absolute and pure peace. That's how Jesus was able to hang on the cross and not be angry and bitter, but yet offer forgiveness and grace and hope. Because he had that something bigger in him that each of us can have today. 800 people were willing to risk their lives to save others. And they did. That's how the soldiers were able to leave and be free. God offers us vessels of hope every day of our lives. That's one of the beautiful things about being a part of a faith community and having friends that are followers of Christ. When we find ourselves alone, we're not really ever alone if we'll just reach out and hear some words of hope and love by those that are close to us. The scriptures also offer us some hope. If we'll go and we'll read, we'll see those verses that God is always with us and carries us through everything, no matter how alone we can feel and how alone we can be. 800 vessels, 800 plus people risked their lives to bring some hope and some home. And because of them, people were free. Now, at the end of this, you know, it certainly was not the end of the war. And so Churchill delivered an address to Parliament. And in this last clip that you're getting ready to see, you'll hear some of those words. They're powerful because I believe that they are also metaphorical for where we are in our lives today. He talks about the fact that, you know, war isn't over. And the next strike is going to come. But with God's presence, we can overcome and endure all things. Take a look at this final clip.
Wars are not won by evacuations.
I can't look.
But there was a victory inside this deliverance which should be noted. Our thankfulness for the escape of our army must not blind us to the fact that what has happened in France and Belgium is a colossal military disaster. We must expect another blow to be struck almost immediately. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be.
What?
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. And even if this island or a large part of it were subjugated and starving, and our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
One thing through Dunkirk is the enemy is always faceless. Throughout the whole movie, you never see the face of the enemy until that scene right there when you see the pilot be taken away. That's the closest you ever see the enemy, but the enemy is always present. It's always there. Well, guess what? Sadly, that is what life is like. We know that we live and we exist in this powerful presence of God, but the enemy is always there, good and evil. They are opposing forces in this world. But we have been given a hope that is the most powerful weapon of all. It is the hope of God and God's love, and it does carry us through each and every day and carries us through till the end, even when we're captured in the stuff that life throws at us. We are never alone. And evil is never bigger than the hope that lies within us in the power and presence of God. Claim that hope. Hold on to that hope today and every day. That is how we will win any battle that we face in our lives. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a powerful God, and you have served as a God from the beginning of time. And you have carried so many people through battles, literal and metaphorical. God, we give you thanks for the presence and the peace you offer each of us. God, help us claim it. Help us hold on to it. Help us remember that it is there. It is ours for the taking. God, you're a God of love, a God of hope, and a God of peace. And in you, we can claim the ultimate victory. We offer our prayers to you in Christ's holy name. Amen. Hope is the weapon. Victory is when we survive. So sometimes that's what we have to hold on to. But we have this hope of being able to survive in a way that brings us joy and peace. And that's by holding on to the hope that comes in God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May you go in peace and hope. Amen.